You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are walking with me today on the road of life. Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can also email me at dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can log on, look at previous podcasts about everything under the sun, from Barbie dolls to pornography to internal questions and angst and depression and anxiety, as well as spiritual things, because we need all our system. We talked yesterday about the systems approach. We need our system to run. I had that little light on my car because I can, you know, I get the, oh, you don't have enough oil, or your tire's low, or, you know, whatever. It's these things come on all the time. Look them up in my little manual. Okay, go get oil, go get this. And you fix the little parts and pieces. And then I had this one come on. I thought, what the heck is that? And I looked it up, and it just said system malfunction. As I said yesterday, oh my gosh, that's really helpful. What do I do about that? So I took it into what? I took it into this really nice guy who's been working on my car for a long time. He does it through his home. And he just said, bring it in and I will check it out for you. He said, it could be pretty bad or it could be not so bad. And I love this guy and he needs money. He's got a baby and another one on the way and they live in a very poor area. So he goes over and I'm in the living room talking to his wife and his little girl, his little 2-year-old girl. And he takes down his little apparatus, comes back and he goes, well, looks like maybe you just have a worn out gas cap. And how he figured that out was that he had a little system. He had a little thing that plugged into my system somehow. And it just was like this little box he held in his hand. All you who work on cars know what it is. I don't. And it just checked everything. It checked the entire system. And it was able to say there's a vapor leak. And he said the most likely place for a vapor leak is your gas cap. And we had some big weather changes here from 90 degrees to 50 to 60 degrees here. And that's a 30 degree change in a couple days. And sometimes the older rubber and all that, my car's old. Oh, it's so old. It's too old. That's what it was about. So likewise with us, we have a system and our system has many parts. And oftentimes we just dive into, I do it. I am no different than anyone out there. I have people, when I was a general practitioner, people come into me and they want to know what's wrong. I have something wrong with me. I know it. Please run some blood test. I need to find it. Before I even began the road of psychiatry. And what I could pick up oftentimes is, of course, you go to the medical because it's a systems approach. Let's find out. But I just see you. Now, sometimes I can see you and I can tell that you've got something, you know, a discoloration around your mouth. And so you're probably not getting enough oxygen. So I got to think about your heart. That's why you're trained as a doctor. Somewhere back in the Old Testament and all the way through, actually, it's like God made doctors too. He makes everybody to make his system run. So we need the person who manufactures a gas cap. We need the person to be able to diagnose the whole system. We need the person to be able to deal with the pieces and parts. We need the surgeons. We need the oncologist. We need the psychiatrist. We need the philosophers. We need the priest. We need St. Ignatius. We need it all because it's the system of the universe. We are part of the system of the universe. Now, I always go on these little general, huge, giant, global things in the beginning of the program. So stick with me, because we're going to go from the big, like, oh my gosh, engine malfunction, down to, well, let's see what the issues are. How can we deal with the issues? Today, I want to talk about healing. I want to go back into St. Ignatius and his imagination, his asking us, telling us, is one of his exercises. This guy who I'm thinking is, oh, regimented, you know, who am I? But I'm thinking when I first get converted, it's like, this wasn't an angels dancing on the head of a pin enough for me. It was too regimented. Spiritual exercises. I was into St. John of the Cross with Dark Night of the Soul. I was already diving into that. Oh, I know I must have Dark Night of the Soul. And he, really, it makes a lot of sense, and it never changes. St. John of the Cross will talk about what happens when you first begin into the foray of true connection with God, with the great spirit that you have no idea what's going on. What usually happens? And now you have those great consolations. And all of you out there have more or less of the same thing. If your brand of humanity is to be the kind of person that goes with, or God knows that the key to your development is book learning, that's what he's going to do. If it is that maybe like with me, I am... Yeah, you could say she'd be great book learning. I would think that. But no, for me, it had to be nothing to do with books. It had to be these weird things that occurred and visions and all kinds of stuff. And then diving into the more ethereal. That's how I was captured. Because God will capture you. He goes to the sheath that is gone and lost. He goes there. And as our CEO, Leo Brown, pointed out personally in one of his meditations in front of the Blessed Sacrament, is that, wow, look at it from a different perspective. That in any day, you don't leave the livelihood of your master or of your own. Usually the shepherd is not going to be the one who's got all the wealth, but you're not going to leave those 99 because they're sheep and they're going to wander off. So it's counterintuitive, because it's like herding cats or something, you know, you just put one over here, and if you don't have them in some kind of corral, you think they're going to stay? No. Well, it's the same kind of thing. He had to leave the other sheep to go off and get that one. Because that one is important, and he has to find a way to get that one. That one. You are that one. You who have lost faith are that one. You who are suffering from mental illness, you're that one. You who think you've had a miracle of cure and then are completely disappointed because you went off your medication and you thought, oh my God, I'm completely cured. God has cured me, like in the Bible. And then in a week, you're down in the dumps of despair again, or your body's shaking. Because God does not want you to mess up your systems. If you need a medication, you need a medication. If you're off a medication and it's guided, you can probably try a trial of getting off the medication. Do you have to dive into your past for a while, or do you not have to dive in for a past in a while? Did you have a brain injury? Did you have an infection? All these things are all part of God's internal plan, just like it is out in your garden or out in your yard. My yard, I don't really garden. But I see all the different parts of it, and I see what happens. Just a little tiny bit of lack of water and the leaves start to curl. Just a little tiny bit of too much water and the fruit gets tiny. There's just a really odd way of this ecosystem, this balance we have, and you've got it too. And we are all part of the whole system, and that is evidenced by the fact, and it is a fact that scientists have seen and touched and parsed out stardust in our own blood. We are part of that. We breathe in, we breathe out. That means we're breathing in and out each other and everyone who lived before us and everything that lived before us constantly. And every man-made creation, any God-made creation, any volcano, any volcanic eruption somewhere else, it's all just here. This is the truth. But we can't handle the real truth. We're told that, and we really can't, because we can't get it. We're finite. I could tell Mozart, my dog, the truth all day long about anything, about why I have to wear clothing. And he's just going to look at me like, well, where's my ball? You know, can I eat now? He's not going to get it because he's not equipped to get it. It's not in his world. You can make him fetch clothing. You could make him do whatever, but it just isn't, he can't get it. He's just not wired. And it's not that he's way smarter than me, but he is who he is. He's put together exactly how is needed. And his system has certain needs that are not mine. So when we go on today after the break, we're going to get real specific into what is healing and how can we heal? What is the systems approach? And what can we learn when it all comes down to it from really the people that really on the shoulders of giants we can see a long way? Let's look at St. Ignatius. Let's look at St. Francis. Let's look at a few of these other people who have a lot to say and help us. See you on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You are walking with me today on this path of life. It is a path, a path, a path, a path. And it's a long path with the procession of saints. You know, our Catholic Church, our Catholicism is fraught with craziness, isn't it? It really is. If you look at it in one perspective, but as the craziness proceeds, as does our life, it's sprinkled with so much beauty and truth, because that's what the foundation is, beauty and truth. And the concept of procession of saints, we just say it. I believe in the procession of saints. And yet many of us can really define that. We can kind of, yeah, we got our favorites, we pray, and really look up anything. There's a Catholic saint for more than one thing. We have multitasking saints. They are the patrons of marriage. Well, St. Raphael, God heals, medicine, marriages, meetings, meeting places, healings, on and on and on. We have many, many, many saints that do many, many, many things because they were whole, systematic, dynamic people. But the procession of saints is a beautiful thing. It's part of our Advent journey to know that this is a procession. Let's look at Saint Ignatius and his direction, his spiritual direction to use your imagination. He used to imagine in excruciating detail valor and knighthoodness, being a knight, romance, capturing the damsel in distress, you know, or not capturing, but rescuing, fighting off the enemy. And when he was filled with God and his heart and his soul and his body and his mind turn to God in a profound way. God didn't ask him, stop all that nonsense about knights and damsels in distress and this and that. Use that. Use that. That's beautiful. Like that. Use it. Now, he told Saint Benedict something different because Saint Benedict was a different system. He didn't ask the Ferrari to be a Mack truck. It's there, and they each have their own systems, and they each run a certain way, and they're each tuned a certain way. Although when you look at it, they're pretty much going to be the same concept. They're just going to be different, just a little different. Saint Francis. So we want to look at the fact that we have, and even if you're not Catholic, if you are Catholic, if you're fallen away, and believe me, many times I'll probably get off this program and think, what am I even talking about? There's so much times you can be at 1 minute filled with the word and so like, wow, that's so, I get this. And then the next second is like, yeah, I don't really know. I think I need to do it this way and that way and the other way. So we have an Advent journey. We have a journey now that we can follow through our imagination that will lead to healing. It will lead to birth. It will lead to rebirth. It will lead to resurrection. And we don't even know. It'll start with a question. Are you willing to take this up? You willing? I got something here to tell you, and you can say yes or no. And you can believe it or not believe it, but here it is. And that journey started. There was a long ways from Mary, 9 months or however long their journey was in the desert, from her being told by Gabriel that you are going to bear a child here. And all the stuff in between that and arriving in some barn somewhere. We say it's a manger, and the manger just sounds so awesome. But really, have you been in a barn? You know, I have. I know you have too. And I don't know about you. And if you needed to have a baby, you'd have it wherever you have it, on the street. It just doesn't wait for you. But it's just not the place you'd say to your doctor today, well, this is great, but I want you to make a house call out to a barn because I'm going to have my baby in a barn. And I'm in somebody else's barn, so I don't get to prepare it. So I'm just going to wander till I find a barn. And then I'm going to have a baby in a bunch of hay. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever mucked a stall of a bunch of hay from a horse, it's not pleasant. So, of course, the manger is where they're going to eat, so it's probably a lot better. But, you know, you just really have to imagine. St. Ignatius asked us to imagine. So going to this, I'm going to put the website on there, ignatiusspirituality.com, because I really don't know that much about it. And I haven't even looked at the part that said, what is Ignatian spirituality? So I'm going to, but I really got captured by Father Fleming talking about pray with your imagination. Because when you think of St. Ignatius, I mean, you see him with a book, you see him, the Ignatians, were like the teachers along with the Jesuits. But he himself, according to Father Fleming, would never have thought of himself as very intellectual or educated. And yet he had advanced degrees from the most prestigious places at a time when really not everybody got to be educated. This is a really unusual thing. And he had a great mind, and he was an analytical thinker. But yet he put in the quality. Not just did he put it in, but it was his imagination, his imaginative quality, his free-floating, daydreaming, off in the clouds, off in the wilderness, off in the imaginary world that we try to drum out of our children in the classroom and drug them because they do it and they're not at task. And I'm not downing any of you have your children on medication. So let's just go there. Because there's lots of reasons why people are on medications. I happen to think that as a general rule, we are drugging lots of people we don't need to drug, because we don't get the role. We aren't systems anymore. We're like, that gas cap has a leak in it. We better darn do everything we can to get that gas cap back. And we're only going to look at the gas cap. We're not going to look at the system. But we need to look at our systems for our children and for ourselves. And St. Ignatius, he went to the University of Paris, finest in all of Europe at the time. He knew he could talk, he could recite back all the great philosophers. Can you do that? I can't. Theologians, can you do that? I can't. Maybe you can. I'm an analytical thinker, but I sometimes go way awry with that. I'm off in an analysis world, and everything at my systems are all shut down besides that. That's not good. But it was, as Father Fleming says, his mental quality, quote, his mental quality of thought that drove his spiritual life was his remarkable imagination. His imagination played a role central in his conversion. Through his many years of directing others, he discovered. So he had to wait for years as he's directing other people in their spirituality. He discovered how useful imagination could be. He didn't just come up with it. He discovered it in helping others. This is how healers work. We discover things about ourselves because God is a multitasking God. God is not going to let you down, but he's going to go to you, the sheep out in the out that's left the flock or has wandered away or never got to the flock. But he's also going to, in doing that, he's teaching the other sheep because they're just as important as that one he left. They're not less important. And he's going to take a little bit of everything from all of you. So when you listen to Dr. Michelle and you say, well, my gosh, she's a psychiatrist. Why the heck is she talking about religious stuff? She's not a religious person. Well, I'm not a religious, but at the same time, I've had a big religious and spiritual journey, and I haven't had it. I'm having it. So I share it with you. And in sharing it with you and hearing how you do yours and seeing what works and seeing and learning lessons over a period of years, that's how I know there is redemption, because I could see it while I'm helping somebody with a very specific problem who was not supposed to live more than 5 months. They live 10 years. I am in contact with this person for over 10 years as an observer and a helper. And I'm watching all this stuff unfold before my eyes. I didn't make that happen. I couldn't have predicted it would happen. And it's not in any book. It's not in any psychiatry book. It's not in any religious book. It is not in any medical book that I know of. That you just stick with a particular person with a particular problem who's supposed to die and then doesn't die. And you just kind of hang in there with them. And you're going to be able to see God's redemption before your eyes. Chapter 5. Put down this formula, you're going to see it. That didn't work that way. I didn't know I'd see it. And yet that taught me many things about me. That gives me hope. We are on, remember those brigades, those old fire brigades? That's what we're on. I'll explain that if you don't know what that is on the other side of the break. All right, I am Dr. Michelle. You're welcome to call 573-4-BREAD-4. See you after the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. And we're walking this path. We're looking at how everyone wants to heal. You all have something that you want to heal. You want to heal your marriage. You want to heal your life. You want to heal your father wounds. You want to heal your mother wounds. You want to heal the cousin down the street wounds. You want to heal the death wounds. You want to heal the lost baby wounds. You want to heal the despair wounds, the emptiness wounds, the addiction wounds, the mental illness wounds. You want to heal all those. But those very wounds are the places of growth. Those very wounds are the places that God plants the little mustard seeds. It's not that I wouldn't want you to heal. I want to heal. I want to heal. I really do. I don't want to feel some of these pains that I feel, but they come up. They come up, but they can be the places, the little holes. Have you ever planted a garden where you're told to make a mound and then put your finger and make these little holes and then so many places apart. And then you put these little seeds in them and you hardly cover them. You just brush them over. And a wind or rain or anything could expose them. But somehow they grow. And they grow into the plants that you want. And then you have to pick out a few of them, to let the healthiest ones grow. God does that to you. And the only place to put those little plant seeds are in those little depressions made by the fingers of pain, the fingers of tragedy or disappointment, or everything's going great. I'm just having the most awesome time of my life. And how come all of a sudden I broke my ankle? You know, these things from big to little, and you don't judge them. Yes, you can look and say, wow, I didn't have my family chopped up and put in a ditch somewhere in Rwanda and wake up in that same ditch and have to climb out, get to the United States and somehow get through life to be a teacher to the rest of the world, how to deal with tragedy. That's a shocking, that's a real story. And it's shocking and it's amazing and they teach us a lot. But your own pain, if you happen to have in your life the pain be that you just can't take another phone call from your father-in-law, or you're worried they're going to get drunk and be abusive. There was a song, looking up Christmas carols yesterday to maybe sing at the volunteer place, which, by the way, ended up in violence, which was a trip. I saw one of this in this all long line of Christmas carols on this lyrics.com or something. There was one, Daddy, please don't be please don't be drunk again on Christmas. And I thought, what? I didn't have time to click on it to see what it was. But that was listed with the Christmas carols. Daddy, please don't be drunk again on Christmas. And I'm reminded of the little girls that I knew as a little girl. We were in kindergarten together. I don't know what happened to them. We were in kindergarten together. And one day I'm in the bathroom we have those, like little kids do. It's that long stall like place you wash your hands and all these little tiny toilets and, you know, all that. And I'm out washing my little hands as a kindergartner, and they come in, they're twins. They come in, sisters, and their heads are, they have little babushkas on. And I might've said something about the babushka, meaning scarf on their head. I was just taught by my Lithuanian grandmother that was a babushka. Anyway, and with a little, they had these little colorful things on their heads, but they didn't have hair. And their dad had gotten drunk and shaved their heads the night before. This is what, I don't know whatever happened to them. Maybe they're listening now. That was their life. I don't know what happened to their life. But maybe you didn't have that life. Maybe everything seemed just fine. But to you, your pain, you have your pain. You are the one sheep. So if your pain is that you just don't want to have to be alone another night while your husband is making tons of money and you live in a very great house and your children are getting educated, but they're always gone because they're making money and you're lacking inside somehow, you're hurting, you need something, or same thing with your wife. You don't have to be in dire pain to feel depression. You can say, well, why in the world do I feel depression? I have nothing to complain about. Well, how about because you do? And we go back to the systems approach. And we go back to the systems approach of, well, maybe there is something physical, but there may not be. So what could it be? Or maybe there is and we can't find it. Maybe no one thinks to think that you've moved from Arizona to Maine and you have seasonal affective disorder. Or that you're allergic to some medication, or you're allergic to some food, or you're allergic to a tree. We don't always think about that. I have an own experience with my son's father, just young hippie people going to a school. And I remember he used to drink a pot of coffee a day. He always had that big pot going on. One of those pots that you have like when you have conferences. And one day he decided to stop. And he stopped. And then I got all freaked out over time because he was so, like, he wasn't available. And he was always like, he never complained, but he was just down. And wasn't there with the family. And he didn't seem to like me very much. And on and on and on. It wasn't until I had my own experience with stopping coffee, cold turkey, where I had these headaches, I was exhausted, I was tired, I went to school, people thought I was on drugs because I looked so weird, kind of cross-eyed at them all day long, I couldn't connect, because I had that physiology that reacted to coffee a certain way, that when I drank coffee and then stopped it, I had withdrawal symptoms. Caffeine is a drug. I don't care what we say that it's not addictive, to some people it is. You know, I don't have an issue with any substances myself because I don't have that physiology except caffeine. And so it's like we don't think about it. But if you wean slowly, you can get off it. I took a month to wean off of caffeine and I had no side effects. That's what I'm saying. We're meant to help each other. So I learned that, but I didn't understand that. About my husband. I didn't understand that was what was happening to him. I took it personally. I just took it like, what's wrong with you? You know, I was 19 years old. I didn't know anything. And so sometimes we feel sad and we apologize later when we learn, maybe 20 years down the road. So we look at St. Ignatius and he tells us, use your imagination. And you know what? When you use your imagination to pray, things are revealed to you. If we use our imagination to pray, to see, to show that we are following in our own imagination the footsteps of Mary or Jesus during this time of Advent, we start to get things. As we pray, as meditation, rather than Hail Mary, full of grace, over and over and over again, as there's some remote thing that while we're saying it, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm thinking, okay, today I'm going to say my infinite prog novena. I'm going to say the Hail Mary, or I'll just say, I'm so out of it. I'm going to do the one that we taught to pray, the Our Father, the one and only. I'm going to do that. And really, if I all of a sudden I'm going, oh my gosh, okay, start over, because you're thinking about the fact that you don't have any chicken to feed Mozart today, or you're thinking about how messy your kitchen is, or how you forgot to go to the bank yesterday. So sometimes we can use, as St. Ignatius evidently, as I'm finding out more and more, is telling us to use, that he discovered after helping other people, after he got all this education, to use it. He grasped the importance of it. And it turns out that he had all these injuries that he suffered. And it was during the recovery when he couldn't do anything. Remember, I told you I had my own little moments just last week where I had no voice. I had no even ability to cough. And I couldn't communicate with anybody. And I felt bad, where I started listening. Like, wow, I had some insight that I don't think I could have had any other way. So it was during these periods of his recovery from these injuries where he really couldn't do much of anything that he started putting down his thoughts that eventually became his experience, his spiritual exercises that millennia of people, hundreds of years of human beings have benefited from. So he talks about two ways of this priest, Father Fleming, talks about the two ways that St. Ignatius comes about imagining. He said the first is that you meditate on a mystery of the incarnation. And so, and he goes by week, it's all very, very regimented in some respects, but really when it comes to it, it's about first imagining God from above looking down, and then putting our, the second is to put yourself fully in the story. So we put ourselves fully in the story of the second week of Advent, fully, and we become them, but not actually acting them, but seeing what it felt like, the struggles, the smells, what it must be like. You who are men, you who are women, trying to be those people in this story and see about how it comes to life in our own life. This is what we're talking about. All right, so we need to go into this a little bit further on the other side of the break. Follow me because we will have something for everybody in just a couple minutes.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back on this road of life. So are you disappointed that you aren't healed? Have you been praying to be healed, for your marriage to be healed, for your life to be healed? Well, maybe you're praying for the wrong thing. Healed means done. If something is ED'd, you prayed. Now I can't think of anything with an ED at the end of it. But it's never done. Like you ate, but you didn't stop eating. You ate until the next time you need to eat. Your foot is amputated and you have all kinds of things that have to be done surgically right now, or else you're going to die. You're going to lose all your blood, but everything is gets sewn up and those little irrigation channels for your blood gets all coagulated back up and cauterized, and you've got a stump. So that severance is healed. The bleeding has healed. It is stopped with the ED at the end, but your blood isn't stopping. It's not stopped. The bleeding has stopped. And that area has healed over. But you are still in the process of always healing. You're just not needing to heal that right now. And it's never a done deal. Because when your foot is amputated and you cauterize everything out and you have to heal the wound, and the wound is healed with an ED, you have to go about the business of healing your ability to walk. Because you got to do it differently now. And then that throws your spine off, and that throws your hips off, and it throws your other knee off, and it throws your other hip off, and it throws your underarm off while you try to have to throw your whole neck and shoulders off, because you got to use your arms while you're rehabilitating. So you got to heal, you're healing from that because you have little micro injuries all throughout your spine. I have micro injuries and not so micro injuries all through my spine because I had to have a surgery that changed something so little, and you wouldn't have even thought about it. But because that, coupled with other things and a few lifting too many heavy things and doing whatever, sitting too long and shocking and stresses and all that, So, yeah, so I got that. Well, I'm healing from that, but I'm also, am I healed? Some people throw away their crutches. They have a miraculous change, and that's a done deal. But you don't have to be that person. You're in the constant process of healing. And part of you healing is, and not being done, is that you're healing as a verb, like you're running, is evidence to everyone around you. They can do it too. St. Ignatius said, according to Father Fleming, if St. Dominic did it, I can do it. If St. Francis did it, I can do it. Now, then we try as in our infancies, even if we're 75 years old, our infancy, we try to just be them. We want to be them. We want the St. Francis moment, like the guy who ran into the lion's den thinking he'd be like Daniel, and he jumped the fence at this, I think it was some zoo somewhere, and he ended up being mauled to death. So we don't do those things, but we want to be healed. Now, we can take our medicines if we have a bipolar disorder and be healing other things while we are not in this shock and awe, dangerous situation where we want to commit suicide one minute and are high as a kite the next minute. Now, not everybody with bipolar has that. There are varying degrees, right? Same with your children. So when we look at this business of healing, it's about being. And these two things that St. Ignatius, or at least Father Fleming says, St. Ignatius says, because I haven't read it myself, hits me a certain way in his two ways of imaging. That in the one hand, it is like we imagine God looking down on the world, on the whole world. We imagine him looking and seeing the polar bears that we'll never see. Seeing his little tiny, I told you about the snow bunting. The sweet little snow bunting that just comes once a time in this one little tiny place on earth that we're never going to run across. Somebody got to, though, because they took a picture of it and they took a little video and I saw it. So somebody was there. And then you see all the hollowed, scary halls of these amazing, beautiful places with swimming pools and all that that's in a frozen wasteland now because the Russian people thought, hey, we'll just make a little city and we'll try to give everybody what they need so we can mine the stuff there. And we'll give swimming pools and schools and gymnasiums and everything everyone needs. But you know what? There were ingredients they didn't foresee. And so what we see is this ghost town, but we hear the little sound of a bunting, and we see little flowers that come out because they're allowed to come out. As I said in the beginning, God makes those little wounds that you have, those little craters that happen if you've ever had a scar left over from a huge boil or a big spider bite that cavitates out some of your flesh or some kind of fire wound. He puts little seeds in there and you get to grow from that. And part of your growing is the beauty that you're going to bestow on the person next to you because you are living testimony that God goes after the one sheep, living testimony. And the second one that St. Ignatius says is to put yourself fully in the story from the gospel. And isn't it awesome that actually in this writing, I'm not sure when he did this, it doesn't have a date, that he brings up the whole thing about Advent. Maybe it's recent, but that here we are. And here we are in the second week. And he says, suggest everything. And Father Fleming says, quote, the labors of the journey to Bethlehem. He's quoting St. Ignatius in his spiritual exercises. St. Ignatius suggests, as quoted by Father Fleming, that we imagine, quote, the labors of the journey to Bethlehem, the struggles of finding a shelter, the poverty, the thirst, the hunger, the cold, the insults that meet the arrival of God with us. Insults. And then he goes on to say, in the course of the exercises, Ignatius proposes many such scenes from the gospel for imaginative contemplation. He chooses scenes of Jesus acting rather than Jesus telling or preaching the parables. He wants us to see Jesus interacting with others, Jesus making decisions, Jesus moving about, Jesus ministering. He doesn't want us to think about Jesus. He wants us to experience him. He wants Jesus to fill our senses and to meet him. He wants us to meet him on the path. And I told you yesterday about my little thing about my road to Emmaus, when I was just loving this place in a very unlikely place where it had this like gravelly thing for construction, because that place on the earth just didn't have the desert. But I'd been in the desert, so I knew what it felt like and what it smelled like. And I was doing an Ignatian thing without even knowing it. It keeps us there. Imagine you with children who want your children, who are so excited because they're in a Christmas play. And they are 10 years old and they're Mary holding a little baby Jesus because they need to be implanted in the play. They need to be Mary. They need to be the shepherd that says, talks about the star. They need to be one of the kings. They need to be a goat. They need to be a sheep. They need all that because they need to be in it. They don't get it at that time. For them, they're just, you know, hey, I'm in the play. This is awesome. But it's part of the beginning. So we need to be in it. You need to be in it. You need to heal. Now, at the very end here, I want to say a little bit just about St. Francis, because what we look at these scholars, these doctors of the church, and they're all so very different. St. Francis, in his wanting to kiss the leper, imagine that. Imagine that as a moment of medically healing. That St. Francis fervently went to go help lepers, and he was going to give them money, and he hated lepers. He was scared of lepers. You know, I remember my brother and his friend, when we had Christmas dinner one time and we had all these little tables out, and one of them was for the kids. And his friend came up and said, oh, is that the leper table where the lepers sit? And he was joking he had a big smile on his face because he thought that might be where the people with AIDS sat. But he wasn't far from reality, because people were scared. I don't blame them for being scared, but they were scared. They didn't know how this stuff was transmitted. And St. Francis went, he got off his horse and he gave the leper some money, because instead of throwing the money at him, and he kissed him. Now, I'm not suggesting y'all kiss somebody who's contagious. I'm not suggesting that when you go up to drink the blood of Christ, that you don't sometimes wait it out during flu season. Because if you have flu, you might want to wait it out to be kind to somebody else. So we are going to keep going down this path, because this is a Christmas path. You can email me any of your thoughts, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. We are out of time. Love all of you. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.